too. And it is really sunny out here, and I'm so happy that storm has passed over in so many ways. Pray with me, please. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts here this morning be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
A great deal of my professional career was actually spent as a recruiter and a staffing specialist. And I would help different firms find great employees, and then not just find them, but how to train them and how to keep them there. Retention was very important to these employees. Well, it's important in a lot of places. So I learned some very interesting things about why people work and what they really want. And the majority of people really want to be recognized and appreciated for what they are doing. If they can be appreciated and recognized, there's a lot of other things that we can pass over. And one of the ways that appreciation is shown, and one of the ways we do judge that, of course, sometimes is the salary, which needs to be a fair wage because that shows that you're appreciated. And so the salary is very important, but also the benefits. You're talking to someone, I'm talking to someone, and I'm telling them about this great job, and it's going to be wonderful, and here's what you'll be doing, and inevitably, not very long, we want to know the salary, and we want to know the benefits. And a lot of us thought about what the benefits add to our salary. Those tangible benefits add. For example, if you are working for an organization that pays health insurance, you have just gotten a big raise. Health insurance is so expensive right now. But that's not the only benefit. In addition to health insurance, there could be matching 401k or pension or profit sharing. There's paid vacation time. There's family leave. There's paid sick leave. There's so many things that really add up sometimes to 20% or more of your salary is actually paid in benefits. And a lot of us just look at that and we think, wow, that's a lot. But I did some more research, and in many markets right now, right this minute, Starbucks is paying $17 an hour. $17 an hour. That's a good wage. But in addition to those $17 an hour, they offer comprehensive health benefits, parental and family leave. They offer stock grants, which means they are giving you stock. They have mental wellness programs. They have family leave. And they have full tuition, college tuition reimbursement. Now, wait, I see you back there, Janet. Do not leave right now to go get that job at Starbucks. You can go after lunch. But that's an incredible job, really, you know, when you look at it. But there's still something about that job that you need to pay attention to, because even with all those kinds of benefits and decent money, you could still be miserable at work. And you're miserable because your coworkers are not friendly or mean, or you're miserable because the environment is just not safe. You could hurt yourself. You're miserable because your manager just doesn't have it together, and she doesn't treat you well, and she doesn't manage the organization well. And all of those things are in problem. They still make it not a great job. And then there's still those places where, sure, you have paid vacation, but they don't want you to take it. They're very, you know, just like, well, yes, we have these great benefits, but those kinds of things are just not great. So our scripture today is about some of those tangible and intangible benefits. Now, when I go to apply for this great job, the first thing I want to see is I want my benefits in writing. I mean, you can tell me all day long, you're going to give me this and this and this, and you're going to pay me X, Y dollars, but you need to put it in writing before I come to work for you. So our scripture today actually puts in writing a lot of our benefits. And it works really well. Now, how, if this is our benefits and they're in writing, how do we get these benefits out? Well, I can tell you there is one particular occasion that will get more people in front of God, in front of the scripture, around Christians to hear about these benefits, particularly the benefits in Psalm 23, and it is a funeral. I don't have statistics about this, but I know that almost every funeral you attend will involve Psalm 23. It might be read, there might be a collective reading, you might have a copy of it to take home, because those are your benefits in writing. And they're out there for everyone. Just like today in your bulletin, you have a copy of your written benefit that I'm giving you. Not I'm giving it to you. David wrote those songs. But it's there and printed for you to take home, because these are your benefits. Now, let's review your benefit package a little bit, because it's not just, Psalm 23 isn't just this wonderful poetic experience with a lofty words and beautiful, touching things. Psalm 23 doesn't just say God is good and there's an afterlife. There's a lot more to it. And we put a lot more in it so that it really has more meaning for more people. Now, in the time that it was written, it really had a lot of meaning, because it was an agrarian society, and there were a lot of shepherds. So people understood the job of a shepherd. But we can follow that job and still get a pretty good idea of what's going on here. So when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that means I have got someone in charge, someone watching over me, and I shall not want. And then you get to, he leads me into green pastures. Now, sheep do just a few things, and one of them is eat. The sheep like to eat. So if you are led to a pasture as a sheep that is a green, beautiful pasture, and you have eaten enough to where you can lay down still with all that food still around you, you can lay down and you're full and you're safe. And that's where that sheep has been led. But then also, I'm led to the still waters so I can drink. And I want you to take that imagery a little bit of going to the still water as an animal, and the animal bows its head to drink. We bow our heads in worship, and we are restored. We drink, and we're worshiped, and we are restored. And then we have to get up, and we're going along, and that path can be stormy. That path can have rocks all over it. It can be dark. And we're going down that path, and we have nothing to fear, because the shepherd is there, and thy rod and thy staff comfort me. You can even say, the Lord is there for you, and so is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The tools are there for the stormy times, for the times that are rough and we don't need them. And then just to make sure we get the message, we flip it back over, away from the animal analogies, to there is a table set before me, abundance before me, my cup runneth over. That is incredible. That's our gift. And then, especially when we're at a funeral and we're worried about, you think about your own mortality every time you go to a funeral. You think about, I'm going to die too. So when you're thinking about that mortality, when you've gotten this comfort from this scripture, there's one more thing that brings it on home, and that is, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. There's been a promise made. There's been a covenant. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And as disciples, we have been made that promise. Jesus, during the Last Supper, gave us a covenant of everlasting life. So we have this wonderful set of benefits, and we have this promise. Again, it's in writing, and it's experienced with us every Sunday. But I am leaving a little something out. The sheep have a job. The sheep don't just wander around and eat and drink. The sheep are there for wool. They're there for their skins. They're there for meat to eat. They're there in, we boil down every part of the sheep in those times and make lard and soap and cook. It's just the sheep have a job. And we have a job. We have that job to care for ourselves and to care for the others, to be a part of that safe, nourishing work environment as we work, as we do what we are led to do, as we care for each other, as we care for the sick, as we care for the world. It is our job. But just like in those other situations I was describing, it's still okay to bow in worship, to drink, and to be restored. We're given that vacation time, and we're supposed to take it. Sometimes we're tired, and we're stressed, and we're exhausted. I was talking with someone about this sermon, and this person said to me, I want it to be about being tired. We've been working really, really hard, and the hard work is not going to be over just because we bring in a wonderful new pastor. There is still a lot of hard work that needs to be done. But we have the best work environment possible. And we can be renewed, and we can drink, and we can eat, and we can know in our heart of hearts that goodness, that mercy follows us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen.